John chapter 1. Really good to see folks here today. Appreciate so much your being with us, and hope that our study together will be helpful to you and encouraging to you. We're going to be talking about our daily walk with God. And I hope that very simple things that we're going to talk about will be encouraging to you, motivational to you, to look more intently at your life and the way we walk each day and how important each moment is in our life. And take advantage of each and every moment to not only glorify God, but to help others to see God living in us. 1 John chapter 1, beginning of verse 5, the text says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." It's a beautiful passage. I want to at least concentrate this morning about our making a claim that we are in fellowship with God. And it might just challenge your thinking just for a moment. How would you know that? How would you know that you're in fellowship with God? Well, I think the only way we can know that is by His Word. As we study it, as we learn what God wants us to do, then we have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves a very simple question. Am I doing that? So if God says do A, B, C, and I am walking A, B, C, then I have fellowship with God. Now you extend that one step further, and I wonder if Brother Holt is walking in the light. Well, if God said do A, B, C, and Wayne's doing A, B, C, he's walking in the light too. Then what's our relationship one to the other? We have a fellowship. We're walking together. Well, first and primarily, before you can walk, in order to walk, you have to have faith. And as I consider the faith issue, which is a tremendous topic, yet we're going to look at it, our daily walk with God, we're going to look at it very simply. We're going to talk about how we increase our faith on a daily basis. Because if knowing God's Word is essential to walking, then it's essential we know God's Word. So, having said that, let's talk a little bit about growing your faith. Some simple things that we know from Scripture. Some faith facts, if you will. Number one, without faith, it's impossible to please. We understand that. If you don't have faith, you can't please God. Now, I ask you this question, and this is a question, rhetorical. You think about it yourself personally. Do you have faith? Well, the Bible talks about little faith. Great faith. Do you have faith? What kind of faith do you have? The Bible would say to us that it comes from hearing the Word of God. So my guess is each of you have a Bible. More and more we're going electronic. So we got it on some thing, phone, pad, something. And we may have a copy of the Bible. We may have many copies of the Bible. But it's not how many copies of the Bible you have. It's you're reading that and understanding that and how that word gets into our hearts. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we have to listen to it. How often do we have to listen to it? How much should we listen to it? Well, some people listen to it every once in a blue moon. Some people listen to it every day. Well, when we look closer, we find that just because you may hear it doesn't necessarily mean that your faith is great. You remember that text in Matthew 7? You know, the wise man and the foolish man, both of them heard the word. They both heard it. What was the difference? Okay, you can speak up if you want to. What was the difference in the two guys? They both heard it. One did it and one didn't. Alright? So, it might be that we are hearing God's word, but the idea of faith comes by hearing the word of God must include something a little bit more than just hearing it, but listening to it. It has to do with living it, walking it, making application of it, doing what God says. You remember what Jesus said when he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" And how's the rest of that go? How's the rest of that? Yeah. Why are you going to call me Lord if you don't do the things I say? Alright? So, we're talking about our daily walk with God. And we claim to have faith. We listen to God's Word. But it's not that we just listen to God's Word. We obey God's Word. We also learn from the Scripture that it has to be very personal. Unless you believe that I am. Personal. Teach a class sometimes for young people about having their own personal faith. Not the faith of their parents. And I hope you understand that is very important. Because sometimes, I think we assume as parents, we assume as grandparents, well, they're raised in our house, so they're just going to believe like we believe. Now, I think there's plenty of people in this room to know that that's not necessarily true. It's important for us to understand that each person has to go through the mental gymnastics of reading God's Word and understanding God's Word and making application in their life and then they themselves doing God's Word based upon their belief in what God says. We find that the Word of God teaches us that faith can grow and must grow. Just as a baby desires the sincere milk of the Word, you know, that they may be able to grow. I mentioned about my youngest grandson, and he lets you know in a hurry when it's time to eat, which is pretty regular. But he just busts out and cries loudly that he is hungry. And you get that bottle and pop it in there, and he's immediately satisfied. You know, that's what he wanted. So we'll talk a little bit more in just a moment about the fact about we may know these facts about faith, but how are we applying that to our own lives? Do we have that kind of desire, that hunger, that want of God's Word, that when we're not getting it, We're upset. We're really upset because we're not getting God's word. Well, not knowing God's word, according to Hosea, will destroy us. I know many of you do Bible studies with people. You sit down at a kitchen table or in the living room somewhere, and you sit down and you're trying to teach someone to become a Christian. And it maybe should not surprise us, but it still does me from time to time. When I sit down with someone to talk to them about God, about His Word, and it is amazing to me what they do not know. And sometimes it's people that are what we would call churched people. There are people that have grown up going to some particular church. And when we really start talking about what the Bible says and opening the Bible and putting our eyes on the words, many times you hear people say, "I didn't know the Bible said that." Well, let me tell you, there are a lot of people that think they know what God said, and they even live their lives based upon, well, they heard their preacher say one time that God said, but they've never, ever really just got down to opening up the book and looking and seeing for themselves. If we're going to do our daily walk with God, we're going to have to understand if we don't know what God wants us to do, that is going to destroy us. God's Word will save us. These passages, and I'm not going and reading in detail these passages. I believe and I trust you know what those passages are. Please read those if you don't. But I want to suggest to us, the Bible teaches us that the Word is the power of God in the salvation, and James says it'll save your soul. All right? So that book you have in your hand, or that tablet you have, your phone, you're looking at the words of God. Those are words. The very words of God, the breath of God. He has breathed unto us His very mind. And when you read those words, you're reading about life. And if you read it and obey it, you'll be saved. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that's some basic facts of things. Again, I'm challenging us to consider a very simple point about how you live as a Christian every day. Are you growing your faith? Are you really growing your faith? Well, I don't know. I guess the Lord blessed me or He cursed me. I don't know. It seems like I'm always hungry for food. You can, especially in the evening, you eat supper, you're full. You sit down for a few moments, maybe going to watch TV, and they have a commercial about what? Food. And then what do? Jump up and go in the kitchen and go in the refrigerator and get some. And why are you getting? Well, you're not. Are you hungry? Well, you just want something else to eat. A snack. My grandsons. It can't be any more than 10 minutes after they've eaten supper, and they can't eat any more. They can't eat any more peas. They can't eat any more green beans. I'm full, meemaw. I'm just so full, I can't eat any more. 10 minutes later, can we have a snack? Okay, are you hungry? In this passage in Matthew 5 and verse 6, let's turn and read that. I know you're familiar with it. Let's read it again. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. This is a passage that is intriguing to me. God, in His all-powerful way, reveals unto us words, concepts, truths that are so simply stated, but are so profound. And He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, notice He says, blessed. What does that word mean? Blessed. Happy. Happy. We sing the song, I'm happy. Jesus links the idea of a peace, a contentment, a happiness, a joy that comes as a result of our hungering for and longing for His Word. And when you notice this particular text, He says, for righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? What is that? Righteousness. What is that? Righteousness. The psalmist said, all of thy commandments are righteousness. That which is right. God has ordained and given, revealed to us all that is right. So, we're blessed, we're at peace when we hunger for righteousness. And notice in the text, you'll be satisfied. You'll be satisfied. When I think about hunger and being satisfied, I must say to you that I think back to the days of when my mother was living, and we would go to her house for Thanksgiving. And she would fix all of these dishes, all of these plethora of things, and just cook, and she would spend all, you know, we would get there, you know, usually the day before, and she would spend that day and that night and the next morning of the cooking and getting everything ready, you know, and it just, that smell, the smell in the house, you know, how great that was, you know, and just couldn't wait, for mom to say, it's ready, you know, come and get it. And, from time to time, and, you know, you'd sneak into the kitchen and, you know, steal a piece of turkey or ham or something or other, you know, and she'd run you out, you know. But when she finally said, you know, it's ready, she didn't have to tell us twice. She could have whispered, it's ready. We would have heard that. We would have heard that. And we go running in there, and you sit down, and you start eating, and man, you just start putting just, you know, a little bit of each thing on your plate, and then you have a big, huge mound of food, and you start making y'all hungry. And you start eating this food, and oh, it just tastes so good. You know, the corn, the green beans, the sweet potato casserole. And all, I mean, it's just really good, right? Really, really good. And I remember quite vividly eating until I felt like I was going to pop. Just ate so much. And then I get mad. What I get mad about is that I was so full and I couldn't eat any more. I wanted to eat some more, but I had, it was full up to here. I couldn't put another bite in there. Right? Now that's very earthy example. Have you ever been that way about God's Word? Is that how we hunger for God's Word? I think if we look at our own hearts and we think about that, I think there are many times that we're eager to listen and we want to hear. As we've been talking about starting yesterday and talk about in the evenings, seeking the things above. Our lives become so busy. They become so hectic. They become so crazy that we don't have time to eat. I hear brethren say their jobs are such that they will work hours and hours and hours and hours and they don't have time to take lunch. There's a brother that I know that, he's a landscaper and he is just he runs on 220. I mean, he is just go, 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 go. And he's about this big around anyway. And he just runs. He just works. And one day I saw him and it was like 3 or 4 o'clock and he had, one of those little small Campbell's chicken noodle cans of soup. One it's got the top you can pull off of it, you know. And he was running around and he was drinking that. And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, this is breakfast or lunch or something. I don't know. He said, sometimes that's the way we are when it comes to being spiritually fed. We work so long. We work so hard. And then about 5 minutes before we're ready to lay down, or maybe we've already laid down in our bed, we reach over to the nightstand and grab our Bible, and we read a couple of verses, and before we know it, we fell asleep. That happens with people. And maybe the want to is there. Maybe the desire is there. We just don't have the time. And if we live our lives like that very long, and I've told this young man, you keep working as hard as you are and not eating anymore and you're going to die. That ain't going to work. You're not going to be able to work. Why don't we read and study the Bible like we should? Over the past several years, I've taken some surveys of different congregations, some in the Athens area. There may be a few in here that have heard this particular lesson. But I've taken some surveys, and I asked three basic questions to brethren. And these are from congregations that small groups to large groups, fairly large groups. And here's the three questions. Do you read your Bible every day? Yes or no. Do you study your Bible every day? Yes or no. And do you pray every day? Yes or no. All right? So, did all the survey, collected all the data. Here's what I found out. And these are Christians. Do you read your Bible every day? Average of all of these congregations, 26.2% said yes. Does that surprise you? 26.2% of Christians read their Bible every day. Do you study your Bible every day? 12.46% study their Bible every day? Do you pray every day? 89.55% say yes. Pray every day. Now, I would say that's good. But I don't know, just me. I'm expecting Christians 100% pray every day. But it does say maybe something else to me is that many more people are regularly talking to God than they are allowing God to talk to them. Now, if I understand our daily walk with God, there has to be communication with God every day. So what I want to try to do and motivate, encourage, and help us to see the real importance in our daily walk, just letting God talk to us. Nobody misunderstands whatever. I'm not sure if this is being recorded or not, but if it gets, what I mean by that is listening to God's Word. God talks to us today through His Son, through His Word. And we need to let God talk to us every day. So, what I'd like for you to just to consider for a moment, there are 260 chapters in the New Testament. Count them. That's how many there are. 260 chapters in the New Testament. And if you take a month, there's at least 26 days in every month. At least 26 days. Some months are a little more than that, right, Steve? If I did my math right. All right? So just what if in you read 10 chapters a day, you could read the whole New Testament through in 1 month, in 26 days, right? And you'd have anywhere from, 2 to 3, 4 days, upwards from about the half hour, maybe 1 month, 30, anyway, to catch up. Now here's what I'd like you to think about. What if you just kind of took this little challenge, and there's some, I did that, yard pepper row, y'all, you heard that right. What if it just was to take a little challenge and just say, all right, for the next 3 months, I'm going to read the New Testament through once a month. I'm going to read 10 chapters a day. And maybe some of you are sitting there saying, well, that's a piece of cake. I love to read. I read all the time. I'm going to tell you something else. I've forgotten now the total number of churches. It's 14, 15, 16, 18 churches that I've done that with. All right? Given this challenge, and then always added, when you complete the 3 months reading through the Bible once a month, I want you to email me or text me that you did that. And I want you to tell me what difference it made in your life. Of all of those churches over the years that I've done this, and this has probably been the last 10 years, I can count on 2 hands the number of Christians that have done that. Now that may say a lot of different things. Number one, this is what it says. It ain't easy to do that. Number two, it's a challenge. Number three, the ones that did let me know that they finished that challenge. I'll give you one quick example. A young couple with kids, and I believe both of them work outside the home. Their regular routine was, they said, they would work during the day, they would come home, they'd do homework with the kids, they'd do the regular routines of, baths and suppers and getting everything, and then they would, get the kids into bed, and then they'd sit and watch their TV shows, and then they'd go to bed, and then it'd start all over again, All right? They said, well, the big deal with what this was is that, they would be with their kids and they would, you know, get them in bed, and then they didn't get to watch TV. They sat down together as husband and wife and they started reading the Bible together. And they said, for 3 months, we did not get to watch TV. We didn't get to watch our TV shows. And at first, that made us mad. At first, that bothered us. But the more we read and the more we read, we finally understood what was most important. My understanding is they don't watch TV now. Every night, past the challenge, they read their Bibles together. And as a husband and wife, we kind of talked about that yesterday afternoon, didn't we? How does a husband and wife really become one and unite together spiritually to help all other issues just to go away and to be what you ought to be with God and with each other? It has to do with your closeness to God. So, challenge. 260 chapters. Read the New Testament through once a month, 3 months. I'll give you my email. I'll give you my phone number. 3 months. I'd like to hear from you. And answer the question, what did it do for you? Did it change anything? Now someone says, well, it really doesn't matter how many times you read the Bible, but it matters how many times you go through the Bible. It matters how many times the Bible goes through you. And that is true. But you can't ever get the Bible to go through you if you don't go through it. You have to do the reading. You have to do the work. And it doesn't come by osmosis. You can't take your Bible and just sleep on it and it soak through your ears. It doesn't work that way. It takes effort. It takes work to read and to listen and to do His will. Just quickly, let me suggest to us that there are lots of excuses that I've heard, and I'm sure you've heard these as well, as to why people don't do that when they're too busy. If we're too busy to let God talk to us every day, how busy are you? You're too busy. We don't know how to read and study the Bible. No, the challenge is just reading the Bible. But let me add this, and I forgot to. When you start reading the Bible that many chapters every day, you're going to start reading things that it's going to intrigue you. It's going to be like, wow, you forgot that's in there. Or you forgot about that. Or what about that? What is that? And if you're not careful, You're going to start chasing a lot of rabbit trails here, and you're not going to get your 10 chapters in, right? So you keep your notebook beside your daily Bible reading somewhere. When you run up on those passages, here are things to study, and you write them down. Here's a word that you don't know. You write that down and look it up later. Because your reading is something that's completely different than your study. So you do your daily Bible reading, and then you're going to find. And I hear this all the time. People say, well, you know, you keep talking about studying the Bible. Well, what do you study? What do you do? Well, when you start reading God's Word and you start finding things that you want to learn more about or things you don't know about and things you want to learn more about, that's what you study. That's what you start digging information about and looking what the Bible has to say throughout that. So you do that. I need to point this out to you too. When you start reading, you need to break up the Gospels. One good connect is read Luke and then read Acts. Book one, book two. Right? On those really, really crazy days, read some of the short chapters. Get you a little piece of paper that has all of the, and I've got some, if you want some copies of it, it just has listed all of the chapters of the Bible, of the New Testament. And when you read so many, you mark them off. And when you're having that real crazy day, you know, you can read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. All right? Save that for the real crazy days. And if you get behind a day, you know, you've got a few days to make it up. But if you get behind too many days, you're going to find it's going to be overwhelming. So you got to keep it up. I even encourage some people to buy some of these little dollar, $2. You go over to the bookstore and you get these little bitty paperback Bibles. And this, you know, you can carry them with them wherever you go to work, you know, like your cell phone. Just act like it's your cell phone. And just carry it with you all the time, you know, and you've got 10 minutes, you know, you open up, do some reading, and whenever you got lunch break, you know, do some reading, you know, and just carry it with you. And if you lose it, it's just $1. It's $2. You know, you lock buy you another one. And, you know, you can carry it with you. All right? If you got your cell phone, there's a member at Anderson. Gave them that challenge, and he asked me, he says, now, am I cheating? He says, I'm on my way to work, and he goes to Louisville, Kentucky a lot, or in Tennessee to work a lot. He says, when I'm on the road, he says, I listen to the word being read. And he said, I can get a lot of chapters read, you know, in 2 or 3 hours drive. And I told him, I said, I'm not sure if that's cheating or not. I said, but I think that'll qualify. he gets a lot of scripture reading done that way by listening. And what would he normally do? Listen to the radio. Nothing that really amounts to anything. Now he's listening to the Word of God for hours and hours. Take the time. Can't understand it. There are some translations. There are some Bibles that you can buy that are much easier to understand that are not really translations. I recommend that you get a really good, understandable translation. New King James is good. New American Standard is good. But the more you read and the more you study, the more you'll be able to understand. Paul said in Ephesians 5 that when you read, you may understand my knowledge. You can do that. But you just got to keep working at it. Don't like to. The challenge is the 3 months. The reason 3 months is I have found that people that really are not good readers, maybe they don't even like to read. If they get to reading the Word of God that much for that long a time, they start liking to read. And they want to read. And you'll notice that in your life. Don't feel like you need to. I read it one time. That's enough. There are people here that are members of the church 50, 60 years, right? How many times have they read the Bible? So many times. And you can read the Bible again, and you haven't, and maybe you just read it last week. You read it again, and it's just so new and fresh to you again. And maybe something you read this time you didn't see the last time. Is that great? And I need to quit here in a second. I really don't know how the time to go through all of this, but let's turn to the 2 Thessalonian passage, and we'll conclude with this about your reading. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a challenging passage, to say the least. But in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 passage, let's read this text here, verses 10 and 12. And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false. In order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. That's a pretty good piece of passage to chew on. But I think maybe this might help us to understand it a little bit better. the key to the text is talking about people that are perishing. And the reason they are lost is because they do not love the truth. They don't care about what's right. All right? And as a result of that, there's a deluding influence with them. Now, let me rewind here just for a quick sec. Back in the olden days, when I first started preaching and teaching, I ran into several people that I was trying to study with and talk with that claimed they had seen something. They claimed they had heard something. Now, this was my conclusion. You're nuts. I don't think I said it in exactly those terms to them, but that's what I'm thinking. You're nuts. Well, you didn't hear nothing. You didn't see nothing. Well, as I began to study more and learn more and so forth, and then I ran across this passage and a few other passages, I got to thinking, you know, wait a minute. Maybe they did see something. Maybe they did hear something. So really where I'm kind of at in my understanding today is when I talk to someone that says that they heard something, they saw something, now my first concern is, what's the source of that information? Because I know God is giving information. God has given us His Word. And so we have that information. We have that truth. But the devil is also deceiving. The devil is also out there spreading his message. Okay? And the mind... I'm not an educated person about how all the mind works, but let me tell you, I remember growing up as a kid, and especially if I watched an old scary movie. It was a while back. I went and watched an old scary movie that I remember as a kid that like scared me to death, and it was so comical. There was nothing scary about it at all. But as a kid, it just scared me to death. Well, you know, when I watched that movie. That night I had nightmares. Right? Because that movie scared me. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and I remember seeing this monster standing right there next to my bed. He was there. Now as a kid, he was there. I saw him. I jumped up out of the bed and started hooting and hollering and ran into the bedroom, my mom and dad's bedroom, you know, and crying and everything. And, what's the matter? What's the matter? You know, I saw the monster in there and everything. Well, you know, that was the end of the movies. I didn't get to watch the movies no more. Now, let me tell you. People can see things and hear things, and they attribute it to God, and they make something out of that that God never intended. Nor did he ever send the message. Now, why do people do that religiously? From a religious perspective. You ever talk to people that claim to see something or hear something and that just changed their lives and you couldn't show them on a stack of Bibles, you know, to change their mind? I know what I heard and I feel it right here. They point here. I feel it right here in my heart, you know, that I'm right because I saw that. I heard that. This is what this passage is addressing. And it's about the very fact that people do not believe the truth and they take pleasure in wickedness. Now, why am I bringing that up? This is a powerful tool. This is the Word of God. It's precious. It's great. And you need to be careful how you wield it. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And you don't read it flippantly. You don't look at it and study it just uncaringly. These are the very words of God. You need to appreciate that. You need to love that. And when He speaks to us through this book, it's going to change your life. You're going to hear words that's going to touch your heart and show you that you have been doing wrong. And you need to correct your life. If I've already made up my mind what I believe, if I'm enjoying living in a life of sin, and when I turn to this book and it doesn't say what I want it to say, I don't have an appreciation for it, then all this text is saying, by my own choice and my own rejection of God's word, I'm going to be led down a road of destruction. I would encourage all of us, read your Bible every day. Whatever preacher, whatever teacher, whatever person says to you what God said, read it for yourself. Open up your Bible and look at the Word yourself. Then you know. Love what God says. Want to hear what God says. Then do it. Well, I need to stop. Thank you for listening. I appreciate very, very much your being here today. We've got a good number. Thank you so much. Our brother has selected a song number, and I've completely forgotten what that number was.